There will be a lot of talk at this weekend's meetings about the best ways to help the poor in developing countries. The nonprofit World Resources Institute argues that it's possible to do just that while making a healthy profit. We invited the Institute's senior scientist, Alan Hammond, to tell us how he thinks it could work.
The core idea is that the poor have needs that are not well served, and they actually have money. Not a lot per person, but a lot collectively. Trillions of dollars of buying power. So if big companies could serve those needs, they have found a whole new market. In fact, we think they can serve the poor profitably. So everybody wins.
And the examples of this are food, water, credit.
Phone service.
Mm-hmm. You suggest that wireless communication, cell phones and so forth, are an area that's particularly promising, both for the companies and for the poor communities.
Well, one of the classic examples now, even though it's only about 3 or 4 years old, is a company called Grameen Phone. It operates in Bangladesh, one of the very poorest countries in the world. And it is, in fact, the largest cell phone company in the country, but it was started with a commitment to also serve rural villages. And it does it in the following way. It has a local entrepreneur, almost always a woman, who owns the cell phone, and she lets her neighbors use it and charges them by the minute. And those rural cell phones are 3 times as profitable as the company's urban cell phones.
Any other examples of the use of wireless on the ground where companies are already using this, making a profit, providing a service, improving the lives
sure.
of poor people?
There's a company called Enlog in India. It's using a form of wireless called wireless local loop. And it basically sets up a tower, and that connects up to 10 kilometers away to a kiosk that has a phone and a computer in it. The kiosk's owned by a local entrepreneur. Could be a merchant, could be a church, could be many things. So, and about 100 people use that kiosk on average to make phone calls, to get email, to find prices on the internet. And that tower can serve about 500 of those kiosks. And then it connects into the phone system and the internet. And so it's concentrating the buying power, if you like, of up to 50,000 people on that one device. The device costs about $20,000.
Couldn't a company say, wait a minute, you know, I can go in and I can make $50 selling a particular product or service to someone in the United States who's got a lot of money. If I do this in a developing country, I'll make a buck servicing 50 people. It's a lot easier to service one person than 50 people. Yeah, why should I bother with a developing country?
The main reason is saturation. How many different companies are trying to sell you and me that ice cream cone? But in rural India, I guarantee you nobody is selling ice cream or candy or detergent in small sizes that people can afford. So when Unilever, in its Indian branch, started doing those, selling things at a penny or 2 pennies a serving, it discovered it had a huge, rapidly growing, profitable market with almost no competition.
A lot of companies are hesitant about doing business in the developing world because of corruption, security issues, infrastructure problems, all of these sorts of things.
Right.
You're suggesting that in many cases those problems are overblown.
No, they're quite real. But in fact, if you look carefully, most of the big multinationals are already there. They're simply serving the middle class or the other Fortune 500 companies. So they're already coping with those problems, and they've learned how to deal with them. They're worse in some countries than others. You have to overcome your prejudice that poor people don't have money, or that you actually can't operate in these communities, or that there aren't business models that work. But we've started to document those business models and share them with companies and point to the examples that are succeeding. And we think, in fact, there's a very strong case.
Thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
Alan Hammond is Vice President for Innovation at the World Resources Institute.